Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. One of my favorite co-combatants in that war is our first guest. She joins us each week, a longtime syndicated columnist, these days blogging to a fairly well at dianawest.net, also periodically at the Daily Caller and elsewhere. She is the author of two best-selling books, Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal. She is, of course, Diana West. Welcome back, Diana. Good to have you.
Wonderful to be with you, Frank. Thank you.
Let me ask you about something that I suspect has troubled you, as it has me, and that is that in the course of the campaign, Donald Trump made much of the fact that it was imperative that we be able to name the enemy we confront if we are to defeat them. And he was very critical of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and many of the Republicans he was running against and others who have refused to do that over the past 16 years, leaving us, I would argue, in pretty much the fix we're in today, which is we're not winning. This week, we have, of course, commemorated the anniversary of multiple attacks against us. It wasn't just on September 11th, 2001. It was 2008. Also, of course, Benghazi 5 years ago. In each of four statements, the president, the vice president, the secretary of defense, and the attorney general declined to use even the term that the president himself had embraced, radical Islamic terrorism. Diana West, what is going on?
This is a watershed moment, truly, in terms of the disappearance of 9/11 as a historical event during which pious Muslims attacked the United States of America as part of their jihad. If you can't say that, if you can't understand that, then you certainly can't defend yourself against any future attack. But we're at a point where we say never forget and never forget and never forget, and the president says never forget. And yet that is exactly the exercise, the political exercise that all of our elites have been undertaking since 9/11, and now it includes President Trump.
Yeah, you know what disturbs me most about it, Diana, as I think you are very well aware, is it's not only misleading the American people about the nature of the problem and compounding, as I discussed a moment ago, the problem of doing something effective about it. But what we know, Diana, about the doctrine of the Sharia supremacists who actually are the enemy suggests that they're likely to take this behavior on our part in a way that will make our problems even greater.
I think that's exactly correct. I think that there is a terrible behavior in terms of presenting to the world, to the Islamic world, a craven face, a face that is so afraid to discuss Islam, that is so afraid to discuss Sharia, that is afraid for all these years going back. I mean, I was reviewing the many, many 9/11 columns I've written over the years for my syndicated column, and this also includes the failure to even draw pictures, to even publish pictures, cartoons of Muhammad. This used to be a great concern to us. We used to actually discuss this with the Kurt Westergaard Danish cartoon and so on. That is now down the memory hole. We have ramped up into a new cycle of jihad. It was much more theoretical 10 years ago. We could publish images of Muhammad in accordance with the Sharia, which was exactly the capitulation that we were watching. Now, with the massive years and years of mass Islamic migration, particularly into Europe, but also into this country, we are now seeing these outposts of Sharia becoming much more accommodated, becoming into the fabric, and further dictating, now that we are no longer even depicting these images, which we never did, we are now not criticizing even the most extreme expressions of this kind of jihad, indeed an attack.
And it is emboldening our enemies. We had a terrific hour-long conversation with Raheem Kassan yesterday about his new book, No Go Zones. And again, as a former Muslim, he completely agreed that it is certain to make the problem worse. Diana, you're going to be addressing what may be at work in part here, namely the functioning of what has come to be called the deep state, operating against the Trump administration in a very interesting panel sponsored by Judicial Watch a little later this week on the 15th. Tell us a little bit about that program and give us a titillating forecast as to what you're going to say there.
I'm very pleased to be involved in this. We're going to be discussing the deep state, which will be informative and interesting to me as well, to find out what people believe that we can, how we can define this and get a handle on it. Deep state has become kind of a caricature almost of something that we can all see, that I think we should be narrowing the definition down to understand it as subversion, as domestic subversion, and even introducing that old aspect of un-American activities. What we're looking at are efforts to subvert the Constitution, efforts to subvert the open functioning of our lawful political process. And that isn't just some sort of cartoonish deep state figure that could come off of an HBO show. This is a concerted effort by subversives, another word we're not allowed to use anymore, but we should be dusting off, in order to engage in these anti-constitutional and indeed, I would argue, un-American activities. So this should be a very interesting opportunity to sort of hash some of this out.
Indeed, and I hope it will, in fact, expose, not just sort of in the abstract what's going on, but name names and hold in particular accountable people who I think are very much involved, among other things, in what we just talked about, that dumbing down of the president's lexicon, namely his national security advisor, H.R. McMaster, who came to office is for a staff meeting and announced that he disagreed with the use of the term radical Islamic terrorism, the president's chosen formulation. And lo and behold, several months into office, that's gone. It's down the memory hole, as you say. Diana, very quickly, there was an interesting development with the Supreme Court yesterday. They decided not to allow the Ninth Circuit once again to gum up the works with the president's immigration pause. I wonder what your thoughts are about specifically an issue that I'm very engaged on, as you know, with our amicus brief to the Supremes about this, namely the point of the exercise being to try to reduce the likelihood we're going to import more jihadists and adapting a filter along the lines of what we did in the past. You've written extensively on, you know, what we have done in this regard, particularly with hostile ideologies like Nazism and communism. Talk a little bit about, you know, the way ahead here, as you see it.
Well, the way ahead here, I'm afraid, seems very dark at this moment, because this is a very urgent issue that requires a president who believes in the importance of protecting the United States from further subversion by Islamic ideologies, as we discuss in terms of the spread, the democratic and demographic spread of Sharia, that really needs to be discussed with the American people. He gave a marvelous speech as a candidate, I believe it was in August of 2016, where he discussed, yes, and he discussed the threat posed by importing Sharia, which comes with Islamic immigration, pure and simple. This needs to be developed, expressed, laid out, not in Twitter. This needs to come as a fantastic speech by, you know, someone of the caliber of Stephen Miller, you know, or someone who's an Islamic expert. I don't know if that his expertise goes to these issues. And discussed with the American people so that they can understand how it is that it's our immigration policy that is our greatest tool, not only of national enhancement and getting, you know, the best people in the world to help our country grow, but to protect us, to protect our constitutional liberties from people who want to come here and set up a completely different kind of society in which our constitutional freedoms can no longer exist.
Indeed. Diana, we have to leave it at that, I'm afraid. We have so much more to talk with you about. We'll look forward to doing so again next week. But in the meantime, thank you for these insights into What I fear, if the president does not take corrective action like you've just described, will be a colossal bait and switch on the American people who voted for precisely that kind of agenda last November. We'll talk with you again soon, my dear. Next up, we will speak with Philip Haney, a man who has had considerable insights into this problem, both with the deep state and with the Sharia supremacists. That and more, straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.